in the absence of anybody here, I think it's 6 o'clock. My eyes are not that good because of allergies, so I think we're all in place. And I'm going to pretend and call the meeting to order. I think we've got a couple of new members, but I'm going to go ahead and start at the end and let everybody introduce themselves and just briefly while you're here.
Hello, name is Brandon Barnes, and a new committee member this year, not with the most recent, but for this year, and I'm here to do as much as I can for the citizens of Columbia.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Cheryl Miller. I'm the human rights liaison, and I'm here because, this is an issue that I care most about, and I have a passion. I currently work in the criminal defense field, so I like to bring that expertise, as long with the human rights expertise in which I'm gaining, to be able to try to make a difference.
I'm Doug Hunt, and I'm a brand new member, first night here. I also am really interested in the whole question of police and community relations, and I guess I'm here partly because of that interest of being sort of the person in the middle, I suppose, and helping both sides.
I am Jamie Thornsberry, also first meeting here with Doug. I would say the same here to help communicate with the citizens and the police. And
my name is Reese Ellis. I'm here just because, I think everybody ought to try to contribute to their community in some way. And, we have this function of boards and commissions. And so, that's why I'm here, to try to contribute to the community in my own small way.
Rhonda Carlson, and I've been here for a long time, and I'm looking forward to working with a full board and trying to build a good rapport between the community and the police department, and making sure that we get the word out there and get the community here to these meetings.
My name is Stephanie Coleman, and I think pretty much like everyone else has said, that for me, it's about building relationships with our law enforcement and our community, and put that as our focus.
Stephen Jeffrey, went to school, left, returned to Columbia, been here many years. I was appointed to the board last, I think, March of 22. And my purpose, really, I think like everyone up here, is just to make Columbia the best place we can make it, and make sure there's community and unity between the citizens, the city, and the police force. Thank you.
I'm Xavier Scruggs. Like everyone else has said, I'm here to serve the community and hopefully to help rebuild, restore trust between the citizens of Columbia and law enforcement. So.
Okay. Has everybody had a chance to look over the agenda?
Yes.
Are there any changes to the agenda? Okay, I entertain a motion to approve it.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, and I'm going to tell everybody we're probably going to have to speak up louder than typical because of the fans. And also, if you would, say at least your last name. Is that correct, Rose?
That'd be great.
We need to announce our names.
That'd be great. I'm still learning everyone's voices.
Okay. Okay, got a first and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Did everybody get a chance to review the minutes? And we had moved these minutes into this meeting from the last meeting. How are we to deal with this, Rose?
I think you have some options on this. Since the board, hardly any of you were here back in August. So if you want to watch the video and then compare them to the minutes and then do a motion to approve the minutes, that's fine. You don't actually technically have to approve the minutes. We just have to take the minutes. So if you just want them to be as they are and you don't want to have to make a motion on something you didn't see firsthand in person, that's okay as well.
Okay.
And if you want more time, we can pass it to next month.
Well, we did that last month, and correct. I think that anybody that had the opportunity could have looked at them. I would say we could move to approve them as they are. Is that correct?
If that's what you'd like to do.
Does anybody want to do that?
I'd make that motion. I'd move to approve the minutes.
Okay. Ellis?
We will second. Yep.
All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We've got the March 8th minutes. Did we have the opportunity to review those?
Mm-hmm.
I would entertain a motion, or are there any changes? Anybody want to approve them?
Jeffrey, make a motion to approve.
Second.
Coleman, second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that brings us to the old business. And we had a draft of our, is it, it's a 2023 annual report? Is that the 2020?
Samantha posted the wrong one online, so we had to revise the agenda. So it's for the 2022 draft annual report. And there's a couple things about this. So the draft is prior to you meeting to discuss the complaints. So you have closed session tonight to talk about the police department's report on the 2022 complaints. If you want that information included in the annual report and it goes to council as one report, then you should pass this till next month's meeting so you can have your closed session. We can revise the draft report, provide it back out to you, and then you can look at it at that point. If instead you want to approve the draft 2022 annual report as is and then do a supplemental report with your analysis, that's fine as well.
Discussion.
I mean, I guess I would probably ask that we consider go ahead on and go into closed session tonight, do our analysis of the complaints, and then add that to this draft report so that, I mean, just kind of makes it more efficient. That's what I'm thinking, so.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay, is there a certain way that we need to make that motion, Rose?
If everyone's in consensus, as far as that, you don't need to make a motion. I'll just pass the item to next month.
Okay. All right. That brings us to the election of officer, chair, and vice chair.
On this, it is helpful if you decide you want to proceed and have an election of chair and vice chair tonight. It's helpful for members to talk about who might be interested in serving in that role first before a person makes a motion, and then a person can make a motion to appoint the person that they think who's interested in serving would be the person they want to nominate, right? Mm-hmm. And if there's only two people who are interested in serving and one says, I'll do chair and one will do vice chair, and you all agree that's what you want to do, you can make it in one motion. If there's a lot of people interested in being chair, you might want to take up chair first and then take up vice chair after that.
Is there, I was going to say.
I was going to say discussion.
So, you know, I do want to maybe address a bit of an elephant in the room, which was, you know, last month we were put on notice during public comment, and I'm fine with being put on notice. That kind of comes with the territory of being a public-facing person. Doesn't really matter if you're a volunteer necessarily either. You know, if you decide to be a public-facing person, you're not above public comment. And you know, I'm pretty much willing to work with anybody. You know, anybody who has a stake in this community. If you want to work with me, I appreciate that. I also have a stake in this community. We don't necessarily have to agree on policy. If we don't agree on policy, hopefully we agree on priorities. If we don't agree on priorities, hopefully we agree on purpose of our role in our activism in the community. And, you know, you know, you act in good faith as well. And, you know, dealing with that public comment, I would say that since I've seen a lot of you at the events that I go to, I would imagine that we have a shared perspective on some policy and on some issues. And, you know, I am happy to work with anyone who did have a comment at the public comment last month. However, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but, you know, I've given out some business cards, I've met people, and I, you know, no one has reached out to me in that interceding month. And so I do welcome anyone to do that, because I do want to be a good faith partner, and I do want to, you know, work with everyone. And so I, you know, my email is public, my phone number is public, please do contact me, I welcome that. And, you know, I say all that to say that, you know, I don't know that I personally would necessarily be prepared to be chair of this committee, because I don't have that institutional knowledge that someone who's been here would have, or necessarily the working history of the board. And I understand there are a lot of strong feelings in, you know, different people in the community that were voiced last meeting, and will probably be voiced this meeting, and, you know, should be voiced, because that's kind of how this process works. But it's my feeling that if we are going to have a chairperson, you know, and the vice chair is a separate conversation, but in terms of a chairperson, I think that there probably is some wisdom in that person being someone who has had some work on this board that has been longer than one meeting or your first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anybody else have comments?
I mean, I would be in agreement with that, because it's my understanding that the chair and the vice chair are more so there for the moving of the process along, not necessarily a stronger voice on how we might decide things. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And so for me, I would be in the same boat, as I'm not procedurally there yet, and would like someone who has done that and been involved in that to be able to help us along and make sure we're doing things right. Obviously, I know we have Rose, but so that we can make sure this process is smooth and good for everybody. But it's my understanding that, you know, there's no superpower vote just because you are the chair or the vice chair, right?
It's been tried many a time. It hasn't worked yet. Is it possible to table this? Oh, is there?
Speak in your mic.
Is it possible, Rose, to table that for a couple of months?
You can. You can wait and get to know each other better, get more experience if you'd like. And I think, you know, I respect everyone's viewpoint on this. I will tell you that the first board that existed, none of them had any experience, but they did wait for a while to get to know each other and to then decide who they wanted to serve as chair and vice chair. Mainly, the chair and vice chair usually get called on to sign the letters of the board's decision. They get called on to review the agendas to make sure that we've captured everything you want to discuss. If the press requests something, an interview or something like that, that's when the chair gets contacted about that. So those are the main things that the chair and vice chair will do. And then running the meeting, obviously. That's different than everyone else serving on the board. The letters, though, when you actually have a case in closed session, you will go through a process of analysis of the chief's, your decision or recommendation related to mm-hmm. the chief's preliminary determination. And then you'll also talk about policy and procedure and training recommendations together collectively and vote on motions on that. And then after you go through that, you'll also talk about, is there anything else we want to include in the letter? So that you're all on the same page as to what the contents of those letters will be. So know that as well. And then we take what you pass in motions in closed session, formulate the letter, and then the chair and vice chair look those over to make sure we didn't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that will give you some idea if you're thinking maybe I might want to do this. that will give you some idea. And then, you know, we can, if somebody new wants to try it, you know, I will happily meet with you to go through kind of procedures and provide any support that we can to make it easier.
I do not see any harm in tabling this for a couple of months. The fact that we're going to go into closed session tonight and work on some stuff together, I think it gives us some time to do some working things together and allow us to do that and maybe give us a couple of months. And that, I think, will allow somebody to step forward and do that. I don't mind doing the minutia of this during meetings in the absence of just having an official chair and then let somebody step up after that, if that's all that it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not afraid to say, no, I'd like to be chair, but I'd like to see us all get to become a cohesive group first.
Yeah.
And I think that's what would be best. But that's me saying what I think. Mm-hmm. And if that's acceptable to the group, I'd make a motion to table this for
I'll move to table for 2 months on the decision on chair and vice chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would second that, Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion?
Reese, were you going to nominate or were you going to?
No, I wasn't going to nominate anyone. The only thing I was going to add was that I do think in 2 months that even us newer members, I would say that I'm green, and I said this earlier, you may be greener than I am, and I guess I'm just, you know, grass that hasn't been watered in a day, so a little less green. But I do think in 2 months, any of us new members or, you know, members from the prior configuration of this board, I think we would all feel qualified to run for these positions, and then whatever questions there are of, you know, legitimacy or community issue, I think that we can have that conversation at that time. But right now, I think that there might be some question about, you know, making sure that we have someone who feels comfortable to run a meeting, running the meeting. And so far, I don't know that that's anyone who just joined the board. And I would like for that to be the people who just joined the board, but we need to have a little more time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking for myself, I won't speak for everybody.
Well said.
And I think sitting in a closed meeting and stuff, I think that'll really kind of gel some things. Okay. All those in favor then?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right. New business. Other duties. Section 2149.
So originally, Cheryl Miller had asked this to be put on the agenda for the board a long, long time ago. She was particularly interested in audits, I believe. And since I was putting on audits, I thought I should also put on the other duties related to police policies, procedures, and training. And with regard to both of those duties, those broad categories of duties, different boards have approached them in different ways over time. So with regard to audits, the initial board, they asked the police department to produce 8 months of the complaints and the letters, the notices to the complainant and the officers and the letters. And then they kind of gathered that information and look to see if the police department had been complying with the requirements of the code or not. That was the initial board. Since that time, there was, I think, two different boards developed policies related to how to do audits. Sometimes there was like a group of two people who would go over and then use the board-approved audit checklist to make sure that the police department was doing what they should be doing with regard to complaints. And then those two individuals would report back to the group. I think there was also a time when individual board members would volunteer and then just be one person going. So there's a lot of different ways you can approach audits. Similarly, with police policies, procedures, and training recommendations, different boards have approached that differently. they can easily come up in the context of a complaint that then gets appealed to you all. You could look to see if there are any policy recommendations or training recommendations based upon what you see in a particular case. But some boards have decided what they want to do instead is maybe there's a particular policy that's of interest in the community or across the nation, like a use of force or something like that. And then they would say, well, let's put that on the agenda. Let's talk about Columbia Police Department's policy on that. Let's look at what do other police departments do, what are best practices, because that was of interest to those individuals on the board or in the community. We also had at one point a board who they decided they wanted to take a very systematic approach to looking through all the policies, and they would basically announce at the end of each meeting which policies they wanted on the agenda for the following meeting, and they would look at the length of the policies. So they'd usually do 2 to 4 so that everybody on the board could have time to read through them and discuss them and do any outside research that they wanted. And then if there was something that they saw that needed to be changed, then they would bring it up in the meeting, and the police chief's liaison, this was before Sergeant Ray, so it was her predecessor, would take that information back to the police chief. Those policy recommendations and the reviews of policies, that then gets documented in the annual report. And you could, the one board who chose to give it to the staff liaison, they could have also done a report to council. They could have sent something to the city manager and the police chief. So it's really up to you how you want to do this. But I know Cheryl wants to talk more about audits, but I thought this would be a good time for you to also start thinking about how you want to handle these various things. With regard to upcoming things on the agenda, we are lining up speakers for the June meeting for the history of the board and the community activists who helped establish the board. So I'm hoping that will get worked out. But other than that, right now you all don't have any appeals pending. So once you get through the analysis of complaints, you can start thinking about, do you want to do audits? Do you want to review police policies, procedures, and training? What is it that is important to you all, and how do you want to approach it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that when I came on board, audits was a part of the ongoing agenda. I can't remember why we took it off. And Rhonda, that's before you were chair. It was part of the agenda, and then we took it off. The way I see audits is like this, you guys, is that given the structure, I know that we've heard a lot about Senate Bill 26 and you know, what that has done to our power. I just believe that audits is one of the, you know, thing that we can kind of increase, you know, the public's, you know, trust in us, to seeing that, yeah, we are monitoring the files and everything. That's just kind of what my mind frame is thinking about. I would like for us to maybe even think about either doing it in committee-wise. I think that there needs to definitely be more than one person that approaches the audit. So that's just kind of what my mind frame is thinking.
And with regard to audits, the one thing that you will need to think about as you approach it is that you want to do the audits after the time to appeal to the board has already passed, so that you're not getting board members who have a conflict. But since the time period for filing the appeal is really short, I think you could really kind of dig into some of this and look at, as Cheryl said, the impacts of the Senate bill and all the new ordinances that were adopted as a result of that.
So if it's passed and there's no recourse, is that then kind of go into maybe the policies and procedures that they currently have to be able to then review those?
So the audits are designed so that you can make sure the police department is following the process that's set forth in the code. And if you find that they're not, then that's something that we need to draw their attention to it. But it could also be that in the context of looking at the different files that you would look at that you might go, aha, I think I want to talk about this police policy, or because maybe it needs a revision, or, you know, this procedure, or maybe there's a training requirement that you could, you might come up with that would make it better. It's a little bit different now than with the prior boards, because now all this stuff is closed, whereas before we had most of it open. So if you start doing the audits and you decide how you want to do them, and if whether it's two people going at the same time or whatever we can sort out in that regard, if you want to bring discussions that's fact specific to that particular complaint, then you're going to need to let me know so that I can advertise the closed session. Mm-hmm. I think you can still do your work that you need to do and have the discussion. We'll just have that in closed session. And then, depending upon what it is you want to do, some of it might be able to be an open session. So like, let's say you read you go do an audit and you read the file and you think, okay, they followed the code with regard to the procedures, but I don't like this policy. And if this is what the policy says, I don't like it, I want the board to talk about the policy. Well, that could be all open session, because then it's not fact specific about the complaint. It's really about the policy. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Obviously, new and other folks might have thought about this. It's been on before. It's been taken off. But is there any reason why we wouldn't do this?
I couldn't hear you.
Yeah.
He said, is there any reason why we would not want to consider doing audits?
No, and I was going to bring up that when Dr. Sharon Farley was here, or not here, but when she presented to us, that was one of the questions that was put to her, because our municipality was quite a bit smaller than the ones that she had represented and gone over. And she looked at the size of our town and the complaint size that we had, and that was actually, she wasn't terribly specific, but she said we fell more along the lines of doing audits, mainly because of the type of the number of complaints that we had over the years, and that it was more along the lines of doing that. And then that was our letter that we had put together for council in looking at some changes to the model. Mm-hmm. And so that was in our recommendation. One of the choices.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be something that the council could look at having us do.
Right.
I had one question about the policies. Was there a policy committee before, or did the whole board just look at policies together?
They did it differently. So for a while, the whole board chose to look at policies fairly systematically. And in the past, if there was a particular issue in a case that then triggered policy review, the whole board would do it. There was a period of time where I think there were a couple people on the board who agreed to read them all and give reports each time. I know Travis Pringle was doing that for a while before he became chair. And so he would report basically the policies he read and anything he saw back to the full board. It's probably very helpful. One of the great things about the board is that you all come from different life experiences and different perspectives, and you will see different things in the policies that maybe city staff doesn't see, right? And you might find, as you dig into it, you might be like, well, I'm going to do some research, Google and see what's out there and what do other cities do. And then, that could be something you bring up to the whole board. Ultimately, for the board to have a recommendation, the board has to pass a motion to make a recommendation. So when you think of it in that context, it really makes sense if the whole board is really actively involved in the same thing, because you need to have a majority to pass a motion to make a recommendation. So when an individual board member would do it in the past and just report back to the board didn't necessarily pass any motion. And the staff liaison for the police chief could hear that recommendation, but that's just if that person then conveys it to the chief. Whereas if you pass a motion, then it's either, you know, in, well, it will be in a report to council no matter what, that the policy was reviewed, what the board's recommendation was on the policy. But you can decide in your motion, do you want to send that to the police chief and the city manager and the city council? What you all pass as your motion will kind of dictate the next path for that. So if you're willing to, it's really kind of good for the whole board to participate in that, I think.
I completely agree. When Cheryl was talking about it, it's not a job that just one person can do.
No.
And I'm definitely not someone that's going to sit back and let everybody else do, you know, the job. So I feel it's important. I will be a part of it. I know as long as everybody is in agreement that, you know, more eyes are better than just one. So.
Absolutely. Agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I can agree with that.
Yep.
So what options do we have? Do we have to have a motion to move forward with this, or?
I think you can, if you want, pass a motion to say what you want to do. You can reach consensus on what you'd like to do. If you think, well, hey, we want to do some policy review, but I haven't had time to look at the policies, so I don't know which ones, you could email me the ones you want me to put on the agenda. And I think because some of them, my memory of them is some are like 5 pages and some are like 15 pages. So if all of you send me a whole bunch, well, then maybe we'll need to stagger it out. But if you can kind of look at what you think you want to take up and then get that to me within the next like 2 weeks, that would then give you all 2 weeks before the next meeting to read them. And you don't have to make a decision on a policy at that meeting. Like, let's say we have, I'm going to make up a number, policy 320. Let's say you decide on policy 320, and then life happens, and you all show up to the meeting, and a lot of you are like, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to read it. You can always just pass that agenda item to the next meeting.
How many policies are there?
Julie, there's a lot.
I want to say there's just over 100. But they're all online, and there's hot links to them, so any changes that we make are updated automatically onto the website.
So that when you go or Google, for the audience, you can Google Columbia Mo Police Department policies.
Yeah.
Make sure you put the Missouri in there, otherwise it'll might pull up South Carolina.
I did that one time.
and you can see the list of the policies, the descriptions, and then you can click on them and it'll pull up the whole policy. Now I know they sometimes update them and have things under review. And if Julie knows that they're going to be reviewing that, she might mention that to you all. But I think it's good education for you, as well as good for the police and the city and the citizens to hear your perspectives on our policies. So either way, I think it's a win if you have the time and the inclination.
Rose, also in reviewing some of the stuff in our reviews this evening, we may come up with some that we want to review.
I
we may come up with some policies and stuff that we want to review after going through our
and
meeting tonight.
We were kind of doing that previously. But I do want to go back. As far as like on the audits and how other boards have approached this, you had mentioned that you thought maybe that there might be some framework or something like that that we could possibly go by. Can we get something like that so we can kind of know how they approach it? And
The problem is the ordinance has changed substantially since then. So really what you're looking for is ordinance compliance. I believe it's probably in your folder from Randall. I think he was the last one who really worked on that, but I could go and find the old one, but you would have to basically create one from scratch, because the ordinance that, like, all the citations that he has, all those requirements have changed.
Right. I mean, I'd like to work with something then to come from, you know, nothing, because basically we'll be kind of going in, you know, from scratch anyway. So I know with me, it helps me if I kind of got, you know, like a framework or something to kind of see exactly what was in the past done, and then I can build from up off of that. So if you can kind of get us something, and maybe when we come back here next month, we kind of know, have some type of system that we may have one approach to doing the audits.
Do you want me to just take the code and put the reference sections in like a checklist like he had it, but up to date, or do you want me to find the old ones that were done?
I mean, I like to see the old ones. I mean, I'm this kind of person, I like to kind of go look, see what's done up in the past, kind of compare it to the future, and then kind of make a framework moving forward. And I'm also thinking about the folks that's going to come from up after us. I think that audits is, whether it be, I know that we're all going to work on it together, and that's wonderful. I tend to agree that the more eyes that are looking at it from the diverse perspectives that we're all coming from, you know, the better. But going forward, the future boards may want to, you know, have that as a standing committee if this model is still in existence. So I like for us to kind of be thinking about that too as well.
Okay. You need anything else from us on that? Do you need anything else from us on that? Sorry, I'm not usually quiet, but I'm not speaking loud enough tonight. I would guess that would be something for items for next month's agenda too then, Rose. And I would say I'd probably wait until after we do our closed session. We'll probably come up with a few things we want to have looked at. After tonight's session, we'll probably come up with some suggestions of policies.
Okay, so just send me any of them by email or stop me after the meeting and let me know which ones you want. I think it'll probably be helpful if you have time to look at the list of policies. But so you want policies on there for next time, and then did you want the audits on there again for next time to talk about how you want to approach that?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, and I think that that was part of our draft that we were submitting to council, because that we suggested some models for them to look at, and that may be the route they go. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Rose, as far as audits go, could we schedule a closed meeting and I could bring my stuff over and then they could pick what they wanted to see and do an audit all at once?
If they wanted to do that collectively, yes. Ooh. However, that, I mean, it would be pretty hard because there'll be a lot of material for them to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or we could at least meet and kind of narrow down what it is they're looking for.
Right. So past boards would either, like, they, one of the police department liaisons would give a list of complaints, mm-hmm. that of which the date for appeal had already expired. And it would be kind of a description of what the topic of the complaint was and what the number was. And then they would announce at the meeting which number they wanted to have access to before the next meeting. That's how one board did it.
Mm-hmm.
Another board, they just had two people volunteer to go over. Those two people would go over together and they would just randomly look at files using the checklist that, you know, of the things they were going to look at. And then if they saw anything, either one of them saw anything of interest, they would together look at that file.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they thought it was important to bring to the board, they would have that added to the agenda.
Yeah.
So it could be something like that. If you decide to do it collectively as a group, you might consider kind of what the first board did, which was requesting access to however many months worth of whatever you want, because then you can kind of look at that each individually, come together as a group, and then talk about what you saw in there. And they had several meetings where they talked through some of those things and then provided the recommendations from that. But if you really want to go kind of a deep dive, you know, some files, there's going to be video, there's going to be, you know, 20 to 30 hours worth of material in one file.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make a point of clarification just so I'm clear in terms of audit and policy and review? You're referring to, Cheryl, the audits of cases that are complaints, rather, that did not make it to us to review. Is that correct?
Well, this is what's going to be my question to Rose, because I know that when we were in training, you stated that in order for us to do audits, that audit, when we go to complete an audit, that audit has to be connected to a complaint. My question is, because kind of hearing what you're saying, is that one board just asked for 8 months, so it was kind of like just random files.
8 months of complaint data.
Okay.
So your audit is related to complaints and appeals.
Okay.
Through that process. So if somebody had a speeding ticket and they never filed a complaint,
then we can audit.
You can't audit that. You are really looking at, is the police department following the requirements in the code with regard to how they are processing complaints? So, for example, that first board, when they did that 8 month deep dive,
mm-hmm.
what had happened before the board had formed was members of the communities felt as if their race played a factor in how the police department handled complaints. So there were a lot of complaints about that. And the city hired a consultant at that time, and that consultant concluded that, yes, in fact, race was a factor in how complaints were being handled. So this would have been back in, like, before 2009. So that was part of the impetus in establishing the board and having the board have the ability to audit complaints. And it's also why the duty with regard to the annual report talks about the board doing an analysis of complaint data. So part of what the board was looking at was, you know, could they come to any conclusions had this improved? But they also were looking at, was the police department following the requirements of the ordinance? And I can't remember all the details because it's been a long time, but I do know, like, some of the problems that the board identified had to do with the fact that when a complaint comes in, the police department is supposed to notify the officer that the complaint
mm-hmm.
was received. Well, that was one of the steps that wasn't happening in all the cases. We also had, I can't remember if she was currently on the council at the time or former on the council, but there were two leaders of the community who witnessed something, and they filed a complaint, each individually, because they wanted to see at that time if the police department had started following the requirements of the ordinances. And unfortunately, on theirs, there was also a failure point. So it was pretty much, I can't remember how far in, but I think it was like in the first year and a half when they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were really looking at, you know, is this process working, or are all the procedures, are there training issues and things of that sort? The other thing that I think I mentioned at a prior meeting, but I didn't mention tonight, the board has never done this, but another option, kind of like what happened where the city hired a consultant prior to the establishment of the board to look and look at that, there could be like an audit done by an auditing company. That would be another thing that you could look at if you wanted to do it that way. But I strongly suspect all the boards in the past have always wanted to either have a couple members do it or do it collectively by asking for certain files. And some of them it's random. Some of them it's just by the description that was listed as to what the complaint was about. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they did like every fifth complaint, something like that, very systematically.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Steve, does that answer the question?
Well, yeah, that was part of it. But the other part is reviewing the actual policies. And obviously the audits that may lead into
right.
some of the policies
right.
not being followed, but
right.
notwithstanding that,
it's gonna have
are
to
you
be
saying
weird.
That past boards have reviewed like policies 1 through 15 and then
correct.
Made a report mm. or?
Correct.
Okay, so we can do that and then we can do that. It's not, they're
right.
two.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do them at the same time. You can
right.
do one, then
right.
the other. You can proceed however you collectively decide to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I get one question I have for the audits is, so if we did decide just to have a few people doing it, if we had more than five, it becomes a quorum, right? And then it
correct.
Has to be a closed session.
Correct.
Okay.
And so what I would recommend, either y'all do it and you're all in together, or a couple people under the quorum number volunteer without establishing a subcommittee. If you establish a subcommittee, then every time that subcommittee has a quorum, that's another meeting. And you can do that if that's what you want to do. But it could be fairly unwieldy because if you do want to do a really deep dive into those complaint files, that may mean that there's three of you sitting in a room watching together 20 hours of video. But it's possible. I mean, we can do that. It's just really kind of how you want to approach it.
Okay.
And you could start one way and then decide, oh, we want to do this other way. That's fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
Food for thought. Okay. Are there any more comments on that for right now? We all need to really think about it, think about procedure. Think about policies we would like to review.
Yeah.
And audit. And I think we'll probably have more thoughts after our closed session as well.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, and I have one other thing to say about audits. The other thing that past boards looked at, in addition to compliance with the code requirements, they also looked at the internal affairs policy and whether the police department was following their own internal affairs policy. So if you kind of wanted to kind of dip your toe into both areas, maybe that's a good starting place, is
mm-hmm.
that policy on internal affairs, and then, you know, developing how you're going to approach your checklist for audits and then start down that way.
Is that also available online?
Yes. I believe so. It should be.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It is.
It's policy 1020.
It's policy what?
1020.
So far for next month's agenda, I have police policies and audits.
Yes.
And review of the annual report.
Okay, that moves us to reports. Positive connections and ride-alongs. Did anybody do a ride-along this past month?
Sergeant Ray, I am going to be in contact with you because I do want to set mine up. I guess it's probably time.
Okay. If you just send me or Rose an email, she'll forward it to me, and I'll get you the packet, and then we'll get it set up.
Okay.
Okay, and Cheryl, you're up. Human Rights Commission report.
Kind of brief. As far as inquiries go, we did receive an inquiry. Of course, I can't get into the details about, you know, what that report was, but we did receive one since the last report that I gave to you. Also, I think that when I was here the last time, I was talking about the new ordinance that we were trying to get passed and where it would be prohibited to discriminate against renters based upon a source of income. That did pass. So I'm very happy. We're very happy about that. And then that's kind of all the report that I have tonight. Sorry. We meet on the first Tuesdays of the month. I don't have the date in front of me right at hand, but you're more than welcome. We invite you all to come out. We meet over here in this room over here. We don't actually meet here in the chambers here, so that's kind of it.
And they hopefully will have air conditioning.
Hopefully they'll have air conditioning. Yes.
Okay. And that brings us to the outreach subcommittee, which will be shorter than Cheryl's report. We canceled this evening.
Yeah, that
because
the outreach,
wasn't any air conditioning.
Yeah, the outreach committee didn't meet tonight because of the heat.
Yeah. Okay. Now we come to general comments by public members and staff. That's the part where I get to pretend like I know how to read. Okay, the public can come forward, but first, individual members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to address the board, and representatives of a group will be allowed 5 minutes to address the board. So anybody that's in the public, please come forward. Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris Jones. I live in the second ward. I am the reason for the 3 minute rule. All right, so multiple of you said at the beginning of the meeting that you were here to build relationships between the community and the police department. However, that is not your city mandate. As a reminder, the CPRB exists as, to quote, to provide an external and independent process for review of actual or perceived misconduct, thereby increasing police accountability to the community and the community trust in the police. Review appeals from the police chief's decisions on alleged police misconduct, host public meetings and educational programs for Columbia residents and police officers. Reviews and make recommendations on police procedures and trainings, and prepare and submit annual reports for the City Council. Please note that none of that mentions the building of relationships or propping up the police department. The police have a whole public relations department to do that. Your position here is to make sure that the police act appropriately with the community, with individual community members and other police officers. You are a watchdog. You are a reviewer. You are a protector, a defender of justice. You are not a cheerleader. The police department, they don't need a cheerleader. They've got enough in the community. You are here to protect those who don't have a voice. Also, as a reminder, I was one of the multiple members who did ask for what Reese was talking about earlier, asking for a previous board member to not be listed as chair or co-chair. I would like to reiterate the reason why. As a recent previous board member was racist towards two separate members on the board. The racism was called out. The chair's racism was called out multiple times by multiple people. And the chair refused to recognize this. Not only did they refuse to recognize this, they doubled down on their racism. They used their power as the chair to try and silence a minority board member, a minority voices. In the past year, we have had two black board members that have left and two Hispanic board members that have left. At least two of those four have left directly because of racist things that were said by members
Chris.
On the board.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
I'm not done yet. I still
oh,
have
are.
Time. Police department
Thank you,
policies
Chris.
Are online. Last year through a sunshine
Chris.
Request. Nope, I had time and you, I still had 9 seconds and you're trying to take away my 9 seconds. The police department policies are not online. Last year through a sunshine request, community members were able to discover that multiple CPD policies were not publicly published. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Anyone else in the public wish to speak?
Yes, I'm Susan Renee Carter. I'm in the second ward and I represent Race Matters Friends. So back in March, as you may remember, those of you who were here, I spoke at your CPRB meeting outlining all of the problems that this board had I also pointed out the majority of members who exited were not the problem. The problems were the board members were abusive and racist toward two of the board members of color. Those board members were showing preferential treatment toward the police, and that those board members resisted making changes to the model or requesting changes to the council to address SB 26. Those members are still here, and they are some of the members you're suggesting be the chair and the vice chair. And so my question would be, why would you want to do that? Their experience is meaningless and biased, and I suggest that you select people who will do the work to turn this ship around and head toward undoing the damage that was done by the previous board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to speak? Okay. Is anybody from the staff? Any of the members? Okay. I believe we will adjourn into a closed. Oh.
You have to make a motion to go into this closed session.
Our next meeting will be on May 10th. Is that correct? I'm looking for my agenda here.
Yeah,
I've buried it somewhere. On May 10th at 6 o'clock in these chambers, and we are adjourned into a closed hearing. Is that correct?
Well, don't we have to make a motion?
You have to make a motion in open session. And it needs to specifically cite the sections of the Sunshine Law provided for closure. So if a person wants to make that motion, they can read it off of the agenda.
Okay, we need to make a motion to go into session to discuss records which are protected from disclosure by law, section 610.2.021.14 and 590.502 RSMO. Analysis of the 2022 complaints. Do I have a second?
Jeffrey, second.
This is a roll call vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rose, please call the roll.
Brandon Barnes.
What am I saying? Aye. Aye.
Rhonda Carlson.
Aye.
Stephanie Coleman.
Aye.
Reese Ellis.
Aye.
Douglas Hunt.
Aye.
Stephen Jeffrey.
Aye.
Cheryl Miller.
Aye.
Xavier Scruggs.
Aye.
Jamie Thornsberry.
Aye.
Okay.
If you give me a minute, I will. We will regroup in probably about 5 minutes, and we'll head up to 2A. And we'll meet over by the elevator. So if you want to
our next
take
meeting
a break,
is May 10th at 6 o'clock.